Yes, these things in his special name. Amen.
Romans 9:26. The title of this message tonight is Nobody's Become Somebody's. And that was what we finished off last week. Nobody's Become Somebody's. Nobody's Become Somebody's. Ty S. Tay. Yento Topo. Who? Arete. Altois. Who? Waos. Who? Amen. Okay. Plate Son Te. We only? See you?
So-and-so.
Last week in 9:25, we find Paul quoting Hosea, where Hosea names, basically God named his children. He named his one children. What the first child was his child, and then from then on, it was somebody else's child. The first one is Lo-Ami, which means not my people. And the next one is Lo-Ruhamah, which means I have no compassion, or no compassion on them, because they are not my children. I don't have any feelings, but just are not my children. And then he takes that analogy of Israel being unfaithful to him as a harlot. Israel was a harlot. Judah was a harlot. They were harlots. And he takes those people, that image of these two children that were not loved and that were illegitimate children, and says, now, you Gentiles were once like this. You were a no people. But now you are somebody. You nobodies are now somebody. You nobodies are now somebody. And it shall become for itself middle voice, future indicative middle, in the place where it was said to them, a no people or a not people of me. Now that word not there, that's an adverb of negation. When you have an adverb, what does the adverb usually have on the end of it? Tell why. Okay? That means it's active. You were actively not my people. The Gentiles, not only did they walk away from God, they became reprobates, but they became pagans. They replaced God with idols and images. And God hates that. He hates that. That's all I can say is God hates that. Well, now he's going to take these no people, noly people, noly, adverbially not, notly, people of me, ye, and there, in that place, adverb of place, okay, they shall be called, look at this now, we've looked at the different terms for sons, haven't we? We have seen technos, which means what? A live birth. We have seen napios, means what? Napios, a speechless baby. We have seen grephos, which means what? A newborn or even one in the basket. Okay? And then we see wheels, and what does wheels mean? That means an error. This is the error. Okay? No concubine. Her children were not heirs. A concubine was as much a wife as a wife. But if you were a concubine, the man looked down upon them and they said, well, they're not worthy. They're my wives, all right, but they're not worthy for my children, girls' children, to be heirs. Yeah, that's a bad way to look at things, isn't it? Today. We look at that today, that's very bad. But they had no rights. No rights, okay? And not people of me. Now, and ye there, they shall be called sons of God living. Now this is exactly what Hagar said in Genesis the 16th chapter. How many of you are Genesis students? Harry, all right, you used to be. And in the 16th chapter of Genesis, Hagar said, I have seen Jehovah Roi, I have seen the Lord my shepherd. I saw him, and he's watched after me, and he is the living God, a living Jehovah. Very beautiful. God of the little people. He appeared to her because she was being abused. She had no future. She had no control over her future destiny whatsoever. And she was abused by Sarah, Sarai, and Abraham, both, in all reality. She didn't have a choice whether she wanted to be Abraham's wife. He just took her. And Sarah, you know, remember I told you this in the Hebrew class, Sarah said, well, you go ahead and take my young Pharaoh in the prime of her life, maid, and I'll show you that it's you and not me that's God's cursing. Okay, well then when she got pregnant right off the bat, then she was real mad. And the word for Hebrew for face is panay. And it says all of her expressions of Sarai were horrible to her, and she looked down upon her and abused her, and she took off and was bawling and crying, and God appeared to her, Jehovah, Roi. And that's the term that's used right here. I think we'll go right back to that. The God of the abused and the little people. All right. Hosea 1 and 10, this quotes, and Matthew 16 and verse 16 also. Let's go on to 9:27 now. Hosea. All right. That's actually Isaiah. A day. Tatse. Hepher. To Israel. Yon. A. Ho. Adrithmos. Tol. Weon. Israel. Hos. Hey. Amos, Te, Galase, To, Pipo, Lema, So, Te, Sete. Now there's quite a little bit about this verse here. It's a short form as it is in the Septuagint of the Hebrew, Isaiah 10 and 22, Genesis 22 and verse 17, and Hosea 1 and 10, Romans 11. And verse 5. But Isaiah cries, he cries out on behalf of Israel. It may be the number of the sons of Israel as the sand of the sea, and the remnant, it shall be said. All right? It shall be saved, actually. Saved as a unit. All right? Saved as a unit. That should be saved down there. Instead of said. Saved. Shall be saved as a unit. The remnant. Only a surviving remnant shall be saved. Just a little bit. Remnant. Alright? Just a remnant. Now, this word here at the bottom, hopolema, is used one time in the New Testament. Now, the Textus Receptus has Kata lema, but the old text, the older Greek text, they found out that it was not found, that word was not found in any of the old manuscripts. So they, this is Nestle Island, so they put in hipo lema, which is the under surviving. All right, the one left. Now, the kata lema actually was taken from the Latin instead of the Greek or the Hebrew. Okay? How does that do? Now, that, I know that must not mean a whole lot to you, but when you study deep, you'll appreciate
what's
that.
What's the difference between the translation between the two words?
Okay. It means down left and under left. Under left and down left. Okay? That's what it means. Down remained or under remained. The term hippo means it was kind of slid under the carpet and hid. All right? The left, it was hit. And down in kata means down. Okay? But the kata is not from the Hebrew or the better Septuagint manuscript. It's from the Latin Vulgate. And that's how it was translated from Latin. The Latin Vulgate influenced it. Okay? the Latin Vulgate influence. 9:28. The hope is only for the remnant, the small remnant. That's a believing remnant. Not all of Israel that was taken out of Egypt was saved, was it? They didn't all get on only the believing ones. As a matter of fact, most of them had to die out there in the wilderness, didn't they? God killed a bunch of them because they weren't even believers at all. They just went out with a bunch. You know, they were kind of like those people that go to church just to be going to church because it's a nice place to go. It's really neat, you know, to go there, you know. I have to get find some friends. I might even find me a girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife, you know. That's what a lot of people look to church like that. Well, they were just coming along for the ride, and God had to get rid of them because they had too much ungodly, too much Egypt in them. All right, 9:28. Logo. Gar. Sin Telon. Tai. Sin Temnon. Poi Hase. Kyrios. Epites Gates. All right, this is a quote from Isaiah in Isaiah 28 and verse 22. Paul is really quoting the Old Testament here. He shows us that he is an Old Testament scholar. Now, in the tribulation period, the Bible says that the Lord shall cut it short, or no flesh would be saved. No flesh would be saved. And that's basically what it's saying here also. For account, now this word logon there, what's the Hebrew for that? What's the Hebrew for word? Dabar. You get A+ tonight, young lady. Dabar. Let's all say Dabar. That's the word word. Because that is the word where we get the word logos in John 1 and 1. You need to remember that word. That's very important. On account of accomplishing, it means to bring and finish completely. Look at the word seen on the front of these verbs here. See the word seen telon and seen temnon? Both of them. That intensifies it. All right? And accomplishing, bringing to a finishing completeness. And a cutting short shall make the Lord upon the earth. Now, Cindy, do you have I got the thing right here. I'll just have you read it real quick. All right. 9:26-27. That's what you call hard copy. Not a computer. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And it shall be in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they shall be called sons of the living God. And Isaiah calls out over Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only the remnant, a small part of them, will be saved.
All right, that's good. Now, 9:29, that's a long verse, so we've got it on two pages here. Kai Kathos. Pro A Ray Ken. Isaiah. A May. Kyrios. Sabio. Ek Kata Le Ken. Amen. Sperma. Hos. Sodoma. On. Eg Nathan Men. Kai, Os, Gomorrah. How should that actually be? How should it be Gomorrah? Is it in, what is it in Hebrew? It's not Gomorrah in Hebrew. That came from the Septuagint. What is it? Amara, not Gomorrah. The word Gomorrah, the pronunciation of it came from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew. Hebrew is Amara. All right? And on? Homeo. Damon. All right. Now let's go back and look at it. Paul the Apostle is quoting from Hebrew, And he's bringing a little of the Septuagint too, but he's bringing something in from the Hebrew that's very, very important. Okay? And just as has been previously said, Isaiah, except Jehovah Sabaoth, the word Kyrios right there, now they call Jesus Kyrios a lot of times, you'll see in your Bible. That means Jehovah. All right? And in the Old Testament, it can mean Jehovah or Adonai. Either one of them, we know who it is. All right? Jehovah. Jehovah is the covenant God of Israel, and Jehovah is our covenant God, because by the covenant of salvation, we are saved. Period. Hey, kine diatheke is what? Hey, the kine new diatheke covenant. All right? The new covenant. And Jehovah made the new covenant. Kylogos starts again, so, and the word flesh he became. Remember? The word means the bar in the Old Testament. When they came to the name of God, they said, Ho or Ha the bar. We also know that it says Hashem, the name. And the Jews today say Adonai when they come to the name Jehovah because they will not speak it. And the Lord of Jehovah Sabaoth. He left behind to us seed, sperma. That's Zerah in Hebrew. Zerah in Hebrew. Seed, sperma in Greek, Zerah in Hebrew. As Sodom, Sodomah. What does Sodom mean? Remember? What does Sodom mean in Hebrew? What does Sodom mean? What? Flammable. Write down flammable, okay? Flammable. If we would have become, caused to become, as Gomorrah or Amora. What did Amora or Gomorrah mean? Salt. Salty marsh. Salt deposit. Salty. Salt pillars. If we had been caused to be likened. All right? Now, in Isaiah, what he's quoting here is Isaiah 1:9. It says, Jehovah Sabaoth Shemo. Jehovah Sabaoth is his name. Shemo. Jehovah Sabaoth is his name. Isaiah 1:9, James 5:4 uses the word James, the half-brother of Jesus, used the term Jehovah Sabaoth. Now, you know, before Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he didn't even believe in him, did he? Remember, he wasn't a believer. And here he was, he ended up dying. All right? And Deuteronomy 29:23, Jeremiah 49:18, and 50, and verse 40, and Amos 4 and verse 11. These are all cross references. This plus Psalm 24 and verse 10. Israel and the gospel now. 9 and verse 30. We're covering a little ground here tonight. Romans 9:14, cross reference. Romans 1:17, 3:21, 10 and verse 6, Galatians 2:16 and 3:24, Philippians 3:9, Hebrews 11:7, and Ephesians 2:8 are cross reference to this. I gave these to you beforehand so you could just think. I know that many of you know what these verses say. Paul's going to double up here a little bit. Un Arraignment. Ote, ethne, ta, me, diaconta, dikaiosunane, tata laban, dikaiosunane, and dikaiosunane. Day, day, ek, histios. All right. What therefore shall we say? That's first person plural, future indicative active. That nations, that dogs, put down dogs there. That's the dogs. That's the heathens. That's the babblers, the barbarians. This is all of what this is toward nations. The barbarians, the heathens, the dogs, the ones not persecuting, running down righteousness, the ones that didn't seek after righteousness. Every one of these pagan nations, just look in Israel now, the paganism that they did. Jezebel. You know who Jezebel is? How many people would name their children Jezebel? I tell you what, there's people in America would name their kids Jezebel today. Gladly.
They go to the dogs again.
Yeah. He wants in the dog. Her and her wonderful husband both. Yeah. Well, their religion was is they had temple prostitutes. And you went up and you sold your seed in the temple prostitutes so, and paid a fee so you would have a good crop. Talk about an ungodly, twisted religion. That's what they did. You could raise your daughter and become a temple prostitute. They didn't seek righteousness. They didn't chase after righteousness. Neokonta. Nominee, plural, neuter. Participle. Righteousness, the time soon name. Kata labain. That means to apprehend it, to grasp the seas, to overtake. Righteousness. Righteous, but righteousness, the one out of faith. Cindy, you want to read that for me again right there? The last couple of verses? Where have you stopped?
It is as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left us a seed, we would have fared like Sodom and have been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not follow after righteousness, who did not seek salvation by right relationship to God, have attained it by faith.
Okay. Have attained it by faith. The Gentiles attained righteousness by faith. I'm going to tell you something. That's the only way you're going to get righteous today. That's it. You will become righteous by faith, or you won't become righteous. Those Jews today, we keep seeing people, friends of the Jews, friends of Israel, all this kind of stuff. You know what? Back up Israel, do all this kind of stuff. Israel is still away from God. I'm going to tell you something. Those people are not following God. They are not following God. And they will not follow God until the Lord gets them ready for it in that tribulation period. God did tell Abraham, those that curse you, I'll curse, and those that bless you, I'll bless. Yeah, that's happening. But I'm going to tell you, Israel is an unrepentant state today and still proud of it. Every time they offer a sacrifice, and that's what they want to go in there. They want to go in there and build a temple and offer a sacrifice. Every sacrifice is a blasphemous, forgot to do something here, a blasphemous act. I've got to watch myself all the time here. Just realize that I did not plug in the power supply to this thing, and it's going to go flat on me if I don't plug it in. What a time to figure that out, huh?
Right in the middle of the class.
At least I figured it out before it went dead. All right. 931. Israel. Day. Diokon. Nomo. Dikaiosune. Ace. Nomo. Uk. Ah. Thaisen. All right. Legal righteousness missed the boat, people. They're still missing the boat. They're still pursuing the law today for righteousness. A child of God does kind of follow God's rules. But you're kind of putting the cart before the horse. You believe in God, and then you act like you're a believer. You don't do righteous acts to get to God. Three-quarters of the world today absolutely believe that they're going to get to heaven because they've got done more good deeds than bad deeds. That has nothing to do with the road to heaven. Jesus is the road. That's it. He's the only way. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us here. The Jews haven't woke up yet. Isaiah 51, verse 1, Romans 9, 30, Romans 10 and 2 and 20, 11 and 7, Galatians 5 and 4 are cross-references to this. No one ever kept the law. They maligned Jesus for not keeping their laws. Their laws that they invented. They thought they were so righteous that they invented more laws than God did. The Pharisaical laws. What were some of them? Let's just name a few. If you were a Pharisee back in Jesus' time, what was one of the things that God didn't do this now? This is not God's way.
Sabbath day's journey.
What?
Sabbath day.
Yeah, Sabbath day journey. What they had invented their Sabbath day journey. Let's go back into some cryptic things though.
Hand washing,
that was the third special way of hand washing.
Grass.
What?
Don't walk on the grass.
Don't walk on the grass on the Sabbath because you might sow seed.
Uh-huh.
Don't eat an egg laid on the Sabbath because the chicken worked. Don't heal anybody that's sick on the Sabbath if you're a doctor, unless they're gravely ill. Don't talk to your wife in public. It was considered immoral. Don't talk to your wife in public. You couldn't go shopping with your wife and say anything. She was supposed to walk behind you and mind her own business, and you would do all the stuff. She would come along all right, but you could not speak to her.
She might like that.
Yeah, well, she might. Now, just go back to John, the fourth chapter, and look and see how much trouble Jesus was in there, even with his own disciples. Jesus was considered a doctor of law, wasn't he? He was considered rabbi. Rabbi was a doctor of law. Okay? He was that's what you call the lawyers, with a rabbi. Okay? They were connoisseurs of the law of Moses. They knew it, inside and out, frontward and backwards, upside down, and whichever. But the rabbinical laws that they invented were different. Now, God didn't ever tell you you couldn't talk to a woman in public, did he? You show me in the law where it says that. Okay? Not there. All right? Now, Jesus here at the well of Samaria, Jacob's well, and I have been there. It's a pretty neat place still. I can still smell the well. There's a scent to that well. And I drank water out of that well. That they drew water out.
So where is that? Is that so? In what's Samaria?
Samaria, yeah. This Samaritan woman came out there and she was drawing water. And Jesus asked to her, "Could I have a drink of water, please?" And she looked at him with scorn. And says, "If you're a Jew," now Jesus dressed like a Jew. He had this genealogy on his skirts, so to speak. She knew who he was. She knew he was a rabbi. He dressed in a certain way, in a certain fashion. And she said, "You're a Jew and you asked for me, a Samaritan, to give you water. I'm unclean," in other words, according to you people. He said, "If you only knew who was asking you for a drink of water, you'd ask for me to give you water." Now, he spoke to this woman, didn't he? You aren't supposed to speak to your wife in public. If you spoke to another woman, a stranger in public, that was considered extremely risque. But if you go back in the Bible times, you'll find out where almost everybody got married or met their girlfriends or esposa, their spouse, you know, where did they meet them? at wells. Okay? Now this woman is at the well. Well, this woman, she is a loose woman. She's a Jezebel, so to speak. And she said, show me this water that I don't have to draw from now on. And so he said, go get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And she said, you have spoken correctly. You've had so many husbands. And the one you're living right now is somebody else's husband, not yours. Well, then she believed. She believed that she was a foolish woman. A Jezebel. A problem. But she believed it. Jesus has a way with problems, doesn't he? Sometimes. All right. Cindy, you've got that over there to amplify and find it again. 30 and 31, is that where you are now?
What shall we say then? The Gentiles who do not follow after righteousness, who do not seek salvation by right relationship to God, have attained it by faith. Whereas Israel, although ever in pursuit of the law of righteousness, actually did not succeed in fulfilling the law.
That's right. They didn't arrive. They didn't get there. They didn't arrive at righteousness. The word running down, neocon there, it's like a coon dog on a raccoon's trail. Chasing them down. They chased down the law to attain their righteousness, but that didn't work. They never did arrive there. They never got to righteousness. And the Gentiles, the old ungodly Gentiles, they arrived at righteousness through faith. And now the Jews, as according to Jesus in John the 3rd chapter again, Jesus speaking to a almost said that in German. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus said, you must be born again. You need to walk off and leave your nationality and be born again. And he just said, what? Surely I don't need to be like a proselyte and be born again and stand before the synagogue and recite all of their laws and denounce my former nationality. I can't do that. Can I go begin in my mother's womb and be born again? And he said, oh, I'm trying to tell you spiritual things and you can't even understand them. I try to tell you spiritual things and you don't understand them. You don't understand spiritual nor physical illustrations at all. He needed to walk off and leave that Judaism, that Phariseeism, and be born again and get a right relationship with God. He had not attained righteousness. Now here we are in 932. Tos ek ergon, tros ek popson, to litho, tu tos kamatos. Thus, this is a big verse here, people. A big verse. This one here, I had to get to them other ones to get to milk from these other ones to get to this one tonight, because this may be what we like. I don't know. There's a lot in this verse. First Peter 2, 6 and 8. Isaiah 8, verse 14. John 1, 42. 1 Corinthians 1, 12. Revelation 2 and 1, Matthew 16 and 18, 2 Samuel 22 and 2, Numbers 20 and 8, Numbers 20 and 10, Psalm 18 and verse 2, and Psalm 62 and verse 2, Revelation 2, 17, Acts 26, 10, Luke 4, 28, and Revelation 13 and 8, Matthew 4, 16, John 11 and 9, and 1 Corinthians 1, 23. They're all cross-reference to this little old verse here. Because what? Because of what? Because not out of faith, but out of works. They chopped and chipped and blazed the trail, chopping and chipping away at the stone of the stumbling. They chopped away at the stone of stumbling. Matthew 16:19. You are Peter. That's right. But upon this rock, this Petra, this giant foundational rock, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. All right? They are bouncing and chipping on this rock, like the rock of Gibraltar. And now, some of these verses we need to go back and look. Okay? Now, in 1 Peter 2, 6, and 8, but I want somebody to go back to the Old Testament. In Numbers 20 and verse 8 and 20 and verse 10, 2 Samuel 22 and verse 2, Psalm 18 and verse 2, and Psalm 62 and verse 2. If some of you will go there, does anybody have 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8 right now? John, are you over there anyplace? No? Anybody got 1 Peter? This is Jesus, Matthew 16 and 18, talking to Peter and to the church. Okay? All right, who's got 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8? Brother Jim.
1 Peter 2, 6 through 8?
Yes.
For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builder rejected, this became the very cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed.
Okay. The stone, the rock of Israel, was Jehovah. Jehovah was the rock. All right. Now, Simon had three names, didn't he? Peter had three names. Simon was one, which means what? It means Simeon. Simeon, which means what?
The teacher?
Huh? No. Simeon means what?
Somebody that listens.
Somebody that listens, thank you. Simeon. Or Simon means somebody that listens. Cephas. Alright, let's look at that word. Alright, for you Hebrew guys and girls, okay? Haifa or Cephas. But, and that is Aramaic. Okay, that's Aramaic. Aramaic is very closely akin to Hebrew, all right? And we have a word here that I believe is very closely related. What's that? Cephas. All right. Now, Simeon means, or it means one who hears. Peter did a lot more talking than he did hearing. Sometimes I think the Lord called him Cephas every now and then just to get him on the right track. Okay. He called him Petros. For a very important thing. If you go into Young's Analytical Concordance and look up the word Peter, it'll say Petros out there, and it'll say a small stone. A small stone. Cephas here means a very small stone. Small, worn stone. A very small warm stone. Now, I'm going to give this to you in a few minutes. This only took me about 6 or 8 hours to look all this up, okay? I chased this rabbit for a long, long time. I've never heard anybody bring this out, so this is maybe almost brand new, see? This may be a brand new rabbit. I don't know. Somebody probably thought about it 50 or 60 years ago, maybe 1500. I don't know. But just look at Peter's name. We know that the Catholic Church and a lot of Protestantism believes that Peter is the rock. They will say Peter is the rock that the church was founded upon. Peter is not the rock that the church was founded upon. And Jesus used very specific terms. All right? What is Petra? What does that mean? That's a large rock, like the rock of Gibraltar, a great big rock. Okay? Now, it talks about cornerstones here. What about a cornerstone? A building back in those days that were built out of stones. The cornerstone carried a lot of the weight. It carried all the weight of the building. So they picked out a cornerstone, and what they did is they chipped it off exactly like it was supposed to be, and then they polished it to make sure it didn't have any cracks in it. If it had cracks, it had to be rejected. Now, it says Jesus was a chief cornerstone, but he was a stone that was rejected. Israel rejected him. Yet he was flawless. Under a microscope, he had no flaws. Okay? Go back to Simon now. Simon. That's it. Simon, one who hears. He didn't listen. And the late, and John, I think, was the 21st chapter, 21st chapter, where Peter was out on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus accosted him out there on the shore, and he told him to bring in fish, and then he had food for him there when he got on there. And he asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Agapeo me. And he said, Peter, and Peter spoke back to Jesus, and he said, you know that I like you, phileo. He wasn't going to say he loved him, because if phileo meant that he would give his life for him. That's the kind of love that you will, that's a sacrificial love. That is a love that you will sacrifice your life for. And Peter had denied him recently, three times, I think. So three times Jesus asked him. Then he asked him again. He said, Peter, do you agapeo me? Love me? And Peter said again, you know that I like you a lot. And then the last time he said, Peter, do you even like me, phileo? Do you even like me? And Peter was greatly grieved because he asked him if he liked him. He asked him if he loved him the third time. Liked him. Peter was doing some hearing there. And then he told him, he said, when you are converted, when you really give your life to me, when you really turn around, Peter, strengthen the brethren. He did. 1 Peter right here, and 2:6-8, he tells about that. And Paul was writing about the same thing right here. They're chipping away at the cornerstone. Israel is still chipping away at Jesus. They will not accept him yet, but they will. He said, you will not see me again until you say what? Baruch. Blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. Then you will see me. All right? In Numbers 20 and verse 8, who's over yonder? Numbers 20 and 8. Anybody? Numbers 20 and verse 8. Numbers 20 and verse 10. Whoever gets 20 and 8 can have numbers. Brother Harry. All right.
You want to have 10?
Okay, 20 and 8 and 10.
Okay. Take the rod and assemble the congregation, and you and Aaron and your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to give forth its water. And you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so you shall give the congregation and their livestock drink. And Moses and Aaron assembled the congregation before the rock, and Moses said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?
Okay, now, he was supposed to speak to the rock one time, and he was supposed to strike the rock. When he struck the rock, it's like Jesus coming in his first coming. He was struck. The second time, he was supposed to speak to the rock and bring forth water. That's like Jesus' return. And so he hit the rock again. And God took his life because of that. He would not go into the promised land because of that. And Israel, because that rock stood for who? Jesus. Jehovah. Okay? Now, in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 2, I want you to understand that when Paul was writing to Israel, that Israel was supposed to know who the rock was. That's why I say they were supposed to know who the rock was. Brother John, you over there.
And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer."
All right. The Lord, Jehovah is my rock and my fortress. He is a gigantic rock. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock, and He is such a big rock that it is also a fortress. Okay? He is our rock and is our fortress also. Psalm 18 and verse 2 and 62 and verse 2. Psalm, who's got Psalm? 18 and verse 2. John Shirley over there? Oh, not yet. Anybody over there? Let's see.
No,
not yet.
I was looking at something else.
Okay.
Psalm 18
and verse 2. 18 and verse 2. Bill, you got it?
Okay, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
That's who it is. Everything in that verse right there. Now, did Israel know? Is the book of Psalms written before Romans?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How about Deuteronomy? Was it written before Romans?
Yes.
How about 2 Samuel? Is it supposed to be, was it written before Romans?
Definitely.
Yeah. The Bible is a compilation. The Bible we have is 66 books. 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. It's written over a period of 1,500 to 2,000 years by about 39 to 40 different writers, but there's only one author. Now, they had a whole bunch of them. They had a whole bunch of scriptures here, and they were supposed to know who the rock was. And the rock came. And Romans, Paul, to the church of Rome, and a lot of these Jews now, they didn't want to believe in the rock of their salvation, even though it comes.
Jim?
Psalm 16. Yes.
From these verses, how did they think that Peter was the rock?
That's what I'm trying to bring out. I'm going to bring out tonight that Peter was not the rock. We're not finished with Peter yet. I'm still going to go back to Peter in just a minute. We're still going back to Peter, okay? Psalm 62 and verse 2. Psalm 62 and verse 2. Anybody over there? Jim?
He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken.
All right. That's talking about Jehovah still. All these were about Jehovah. Jehovah is the rock, not Peter. Okay? Now in the Old Testament, there's lots of words for stone. Evan is one of them. That means a small stone. We have the word pachad, which we got the word potchard from. It means a small broken off piece of stone. We have the word tesur, which means a sharp broken piece. Then we have the word tesor, it's like T-S-R-O-R, tesor. It means a round stone. And we have the word sagal, which means a stone, a cut stone. And we have another word called ragon, which means a collection of stones like a wall or a building. Okay? These are all stones. Then we have the word, let's go back to Cephas now. Sapos. Now, what is Cephas or Sapos? It means stone. A little stone. Let's look at this word Sapos for a minute. Sapos. Go to Revelation 2 and 17 and Acts 26 and verse 10. I want you to find out about Cephas, this Salo, or Salos. All right? Let's see what this is. It's used four times in the New Testament, two times as a noun and two times as a verb. Okay? We're looking at the nouns right now. Salos. Let's look at that. Anybody over there? Okay. Revelation 2:17.
2:17, yeah.
Yep.
Peter chapter 11, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give the keys of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone.
and in the stone a new name written, no man knoweth, saving that he that receiveth it.
Okay. Now the stone that he's talking about is a ballot stone.
Uh-huh.
It's a ballot stone. It's a very small worn ballot stone. And a lot of people, when a prisoner was taken and tried, and he got the white stones, they would write on there Nikon through the sinkhole. Conquered. He conquered. He is free. He would carry a stone with a name that I am innocent. I have conquered. The jury decided that I was innocent. And that is a ballot stone. Okay, now go to Acts 26 and verse 10. Acts 26, verse 10. You over there, Brother Steve?
Yes. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them.
I cast my stone against them. My ballot stone. A little ballot stone. That's the kind of stone that Peter is. He's a little pebble. A little pebble. Okay? Now let's go to the verb forms of it. Luke 14 and verse 28 and Revelation 13 and verse 8. Of this word, saphos. All right, saphos. We know that the Aramaic word also means a small stone, but if, in fact, this is the word here also, it also means a small stone, small enough to be a ballast stone, somebody to put in your, some stone you can put in your pocket, not one that you build a building on. Not a cornerstone. Who's over there to Luke 14:28?
For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it?
All right, he calculates. It's figuring out. Cast his calculate. It means to figure it out. To do it by reason and ballot. Okay? Now, Revelation 13 and 8. Revelation 13 and 8. Anyone over there in Revelation 13 and 8?
I've got it.
Okay, let's see.
All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world and the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain.
All right. There's where his name is written on a stone. All right? A little stone. He is declared guiltless. He is a conqueror. It says there in Revelation 2:17 that he... Let's go back and look at Revelation 2:17 again. Because this very... This cinches who Peter was, okay? And who the stone was of Israel. Revelation 2:17.
He that hath been near, to him that overcometh, I will give...
The word overcometh, that's the word nikon, conquering. When you overcame, the jury gave you this one of the stones that was cast in your favor, and they wrote Nikon, Saphon, conquered through ballot. You have conquered. Go ahead with that word again. Now the rest of that verse.
Okay. And I will give to Edith a hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it.
All right. That's beautiful. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Mormons perverted this. I don't want you to know this. But the Mormons, when they get married, the Mormon man, by the way, is a god in embryo. Did you know that? According to Mormonism, the Mormon man is a god in embryo. He is on his way to godheadship. He's actually a little god right now, but he's going to get bigger and bigger as time goes over, as long as he remains faithful to their theology. Okay? Now, women do not have souls in Mormonism. Okay? Women are something like in the Muslim world. They're objects. And if a Mormon woman, the only way she can get to heaven, see, a woman does not have a soul to be resurrected with. They have no relationship with God at all. The only God that they have a relationship is with their husband, and he is God to them. He's the Lord and Master. Now, if they have pleased him in this life, when they get married, she is given a new name. And he calls her in the resurrection. They put a veil over her face, and he will open up the grave,
and he will take the veil from her face and call that new name to her, and she will be resurrected because he will resurrect her. Because he's a God. And he will be the God of the resurrection of every woman. Now, do you understand why a Mormon woman would want her husband to convert to Mormonism? Because there's no hope for her to be resurrected at all otherwise. All right. The new name. All right, let's go on a little bit further now. 9 and verse 33. We're clipping along here. We slowed down on 9 verse 32 because there's a lot there, wasn't it? Do you know who the rock is? Jesus is the rock. We know that. Not Peter. Peter is a little stone, little pebble. Okay? Kathos. Okay, Garapte. Hidu. Pithame. En. Zion. Lethal. Pros. Komatos. Kai. Petron. Skandalo. Kai. Ho. Kestion. Ep. Alto, U, Ta, Te, Skin, Te, Setai. That's a long word, isn't it? Ta, Te, Skin, Te, Setai. Just as it has been written, Isaiah 28, verse 16 and 8, verse 14. All right. Behold, I place in Zion. Now, what does Zion mean? Zion. Well, Zion.
The city is Zion.
What happened to Mike? Well, there it is. I have to erase some of this up here. I mean, here we have Zion, okay? Zion. If I can find it here. Zion. That looks like it's Greek, okay? Zion. And in Hebrew, it's this. All right? Zion. Zion is called the city of David. It means fortress. Fortress. Remember who Jesus is? He's our fortress. We studied all that. He's our fortress. He's our conqueror. He is our shield, he is our buckler, he is all of it. Now, the city in Jerusalem, there is Moriah. Right over here, and look right over here, here's Moriah. And then back over yonder, a little bit higher, is Zion. Mount Zion. That's the fortress. This is called the city of David. Okay? Now, many Bible scholars, most of them teach that the Mount Moriah is where Abraham offered Isaac. But some Bible scholars believe it was on the higher mountain, Zion, where he offered Isaac. Okay? Maybe. I'm just telling you that just for good measure.
The city of David was up on the south end of the mountain. I thought the Temple Mount, where, you know, the Mosque of Omar is, was higher.
No, it's not. Zion is up higher than the Mosque of Omar. Zion. Zion is in the city of Jerusalem. Alright? And Zion, a stone of stumbling. Alright? A stone of stumbling. The word stumbling there means to dash your foot against it. To cut it. Alright? And a rock, a Petra. This is the big rock now. The Petra, Jesus, the rock of scandal. Israel scandalized themselves when they crucified their Messiah with the whole world. Augustine called for the extermination of the Jews. I don't believe we ought to exterminate the Jews at all, because they do have a place in God's economy over yonder. They are not ready for it yet. They are not worthy of it yet, but they will be. Okay? A rock of scandal. Why, Martin Luther called for the extermination of the Jews, and he, in a paper that he wrote, he called for them all to be incarcerated in concentration camps. Every man was to be neutered. Every Jewish male was to be neutered. And all the females would not reproduce. Not allowed to reproduce. exterminate them in death camps. Guess what happened? Well, Hitler came along. He just put them together what Martin Luther had called for, and John Calvin called for the same thing. They were both students of Augustine. Okay? Both students of Augustine. And the one believing, clinging to, for the word pistuon, the one believing, present participle, active, not only singular masculine, upon epi auto, not shall be made to blush. Third person singular, future indicative passive, he shall not be made to blush. He will not be put to shame. You will not be ashamed of your Lord and Savior if you trust in Him. You will not be ashamed of Him. I remember when I was reading church history. Polycarp. They took him out and arrested him, and they gave him a lot of chances to renounce the Lord. Finally, they started burning him at the stake, and they were going to burn him at the stake, and they said, would you like to renounce him this last time? You don't have to die, old man. He was 100-something years old. You don't have to die if you'll just renounce him. He said, well, you know what? God gave His Son for me on the cross of Calvary. How can I not lay down my life for Him? So they put him on the stake, and they started burning him at the stake, and he was singing gospel hymns. They finally, it said the flames were just going around him. This is old historical writing. It said it was just like they were going away from him, and he was standing there singing. They finally sent a man up there after the fires had died down a little bit to go stab him and kill him. He was still singing when he died. 10 and verse 1. Adelphoi. Hey, man, Eudokia. Tase, Emase, Cardias, I, A, Daces, Pros, Ton, Neon, Hyper, Alton, Ace, Soterios. All right. Brothers, the indeed good pleasure, the goodwill, what I have judged to be good, of my heart. All right, what He judged to be good of my heart. Righteousness, dikaiosune, means that you have been justified. You have been judged righteous. And He said, it is the good pleasure of my heart. The good pleasure. That's the same word we have righteousness, because He knew that He had been judged right of my heart, and the request, that means in Greek, or in Hebrew, is nah. It means I beg, I please, I'm asking you. My request, the request toward the God on behalf of them for salvation. In the name Abraham, somehow there is love and heart in that name, in the etymology, in Hebrew. God knew that He would love him. A father loves his children. That's in that word. Avraham. Avraham. The word for love and heart in Hebrew is love. It means to pulsate. It's on page 514 in Kohler's Baumgarten. It means a seat of a vital force in feeling, emotion, affection. Paul says, the seat of my affections, the very yearning of my heart, and my request to God, and I'm begging and praying to God, the nah, or basis, toward the God, on behalf of them, for salvation. We got a word soteriology from that. Now, I want to bring another word here too, also to you. This was a real big clue for Israel. Another real big clue who Jesus was. Soteriology. It's sozo. This word comes from sozo in Greek. But in the Hebrew, it is Yeshua.
Yeshua, God's son.
Yeshua. Yeshua, salvation. Now, how much does Yeshua sound like Joshua? Just think about that. That just God threw him clues all over the place, that he just kept throwing clues. Salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. And Joshua, Yehoshua is actually what Joshua, Yehoshua, and that was Jesus' name, Yehoshua, which means Jehovah saves. It comes from Yeshua, and Jehovah saves is Yehoshua. Yehoshua. They should have known who he was. The Jews, in all reality, were reprobates. They have denied their faith. Reprobate. They have denied their faith because their faith was supposed to have, all the Old Testament law was supposed to point them to what? To Joshua, when he came on the scene. The Jehovah saves, the salvation of Jehovah when he became flesh, John 1:14. He was supposed to point them to that, but they missed the boat. They missed the boat. And they're still missing the boat. They worship the book. They worship the Bible. They worship the Old Testament instead of the Messiah. And Jesus kept saying, and it says in my word. It's my word. And it's your word, and it's my word. I gave you response. You were administrators of my word, of my kingdom. And now he took it away from them. There at the end of the temple when he rode in on the white donkey, probably. On a white donkey. Many people say probably a Luca donkey, a white donkey. He came in in peace, didn't he? He came in peace. The kings of Israel rode in into Jerusalem on donkeys, usually white donkeys. All right? When Jesus comes back again, he's going to come on a white horse, not a donkey. He's going to be the warrior. Okay? All right, are you ready to quit right there? If we're in the 10th chapter, we can next week we can start at 10 and verse 2.
And so that is today.
Is this the 24th today? Cindy knows because she teaches in school and she's having a wonderful time over there at Porterville State College. All right, let's go off and do something eternal. You've got brand new information here, Brother Steve. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad your operation turned out fine without any complications or anything. Remember the prayer requests that we've had thus far. And Brother John, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight, brother?
Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've